chapter of 2 Corinthians. I want to read two verses in your hearing, beginning in verse number 17. The Word of God says, therefore, and by the way, this is about as familiar a verse to most of us as any verse in the Bible, but the second verse that I'm going to read to us usually is not quoted along with it, but they are companion verses. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. Now, this is still talking about that same subject. All things have become new, and they're not just new, but they're of God. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And all things are of God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new, and all things are of God. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. I appreciate this blessed promise from the Word of God for every man. Every person, no matter how sinful, no matter how far gone they have been, no matter how deep that they have been in the wickedness of this world, for them there is a promise of great hope and blessed assurance. Whoever he might have been before he knew Christ, he is no longer that same person. And that's a blessed comfort to those of us before we knew God that we're not the same person that we used to be. He is a new creature created in Christ Jesus. He is in Christ. Notice it said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is in Christ. And as such, he is made in the image of God's Son according to the workmanship of His grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 13 said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, now He tells us about our present state in those three verses. And then He says it to us in verse number 12, or verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, the flesh made by hands. Talking about we were irreligious. We were not a part of the promises of Abraham. We're not part of a religion, just lost and undone, and didn't know God and wouldn't have known Him in a 40-acre field with a name tag on, see? And so He said, that's where we were. Now, remember that. At that time, He said, you were without Christ. Before, He said, now we are in Christ, but before this, we were without Christ. And being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And so we are in Christ and we are new creatures and we're not the people that we used to be. 10 times in the book of Ephesians, this phrase in Christ is used. We who are changed in Him and of Him are made new of Him and abide in Him. And He said, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, then you shall bear fruit. And He said, you shall be my disciples indeed. And I'm thankful for that. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 said, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Galatians chapter number 6 reminds us, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. In other words, neither religion nor irreligious, neither a person who's been good nor bad, neither one who has impressed others with their religious savvy or not, that availeth nothing, He says, but rather what avails is a new creature. This new creature He defined in verse 14, the previous verse, by a man to whom the world was crucified and he was crucified to the world. Paul said, I have reckoned myself crucified or dead to the world and the world dead unto me. I'm no longer a part of them and they're no longer a part of me. Why? Because I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. The world is passed away. The old
nature has passed away, that sinful lifestyle has passed away, and all things have become new, and all things are of God. And so now I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. I belong to Him and He belongs to me. And I thank God for that. Everyone that has been born again has experienced a present, visible, and undeniable change. I mean, nobody has ever been saved and failed to be changed. Nobody has ever met God and that the result be no change in their lifestyles or in their lives or in their being. But everything about them has changed, and they have experienced that present, visible, and undeniable change. It is not that He will be a new creature, but Brother Patrick, the Bible said He is a new creature. It's not that He shall be when He gets to glory, but that He is today. It's not that He is, but nobody can see it, but rather all things are passed away and all things have become new. So it is visible, it's undeniable, because all things are of God. I mean, it shows up on us. It is a present, visible, and undeniable change. All things have become new. When a man is in Christ, he has a new life, new senses, new faculties, new affections, new appetites. He has new ideas and conceptions. The whole tenor of his life, my friend, of his action and conversation is new. And he lives, as it were, in a new world since the Lord saved me. I praise His high and holy name for that. Listen, when a man gets saved, Fred, and he comes to know Christ and is created anew in Christ Jesus, God, men, the whole creation, heaven and earth, and all that is therein appear in a new light. Everybody and everything didn't get saved when I met God, but when I met God, everything else seemed to change. And the change was within me, and I thank God for that. And so we stand related to everything in a new manner, as since we are created anew in Christ, and all these things are from God. When a man says that he's been saved, he implies that he once was depraved, that he once was in distress, that he once was in danger, that he has been delivered, and he is now different by the grace of God. He's saying when he says, I've been saved, that I've met God, that I've been born again, that I have received all the benefits, all the blessings, and all the bestowments that come with being a child of God. I am a new creature. I'm not waiting to get saved. I'm not waiting to get born again. I'm not waiting for my life to change. It's already happened. I'm not looking to straighten my life out. He's already straightened it out for me. He made it straight, thank God. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And if you've never been changed, you've never been saved. If your life has never been made an about face, then you've never met God. I mean, if you've never turned from sin and from serving the idols of this world and from serving self and selfishness and sinful lust and sensual lust, and my friend, turned from those idols to serve the living God, then you've never been born again by the grace of God. A man that's been saved has had a marked, visible, present, and undeniable change has taken place in his life. And I'm thankful for that change. I'm thankful for that change. He is made new in Christ. Now, Romans chapter 6, if you want to keep your Bibles open, turn with us over to Romans chapter 6. I want to preach the remainder of the message from that chapter. Romans chapter 6 tells us about the makeup of this new man, about what materials he's made with, about the way that he behaves, by, not by constraint, but by nature. Not the way he behaves, even by necessarily by so much effort is what it is by nature. He is by nature a child of God. Therefore, what comes natural to him is to behave like a Christian. And I'm thankful for a new nature. I'm thankful for a new man. I'm thankful for being a new creation in Christ. And we see that in Romans chapter 6. Now, in verses 4 through 6, I want us to look in verses 7 through 9 and all the way down through verse number 13 and then the rest remainder of the chapter. You remember this is a chapter that begins out, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And then he says, we have reckoned ourselves dead. We have become dead, and we shall not live any longer therein. and that we've been baptized into His death and also have been initiated into the life of Christ, and that we're to live after the things of God. Now, I want to show you, friend, three things this morning from this chapter, from the remaining verses. Notice this. And remember, we're preaching on being made new in Christ. Made new in Christ. I want to say, first of all, today we have a new life to live. Look in verses 4 through 6. And therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. We have a new life to live. And I'm thankful for that. For we, if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve the sin. I'm so thankful that the old man has been crucified. Our old nature has been nailed to the cross of Christ. Our old nature has been buried with the Lord in the tomb. But just as surely as Jesus was raised, a glorified Christ, a glorified Savior, so have we been raised in His likeness spiritually. And my friend, a glorified, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we have a new life to live. The old man of sin is dead and buried. But a new man in Christ has risen in glory. Just as surely as Jesus was raised in glory, and so has our spiritual man, the new man, been raised in glory. You know what that means, Brother Patrick? That means I don't have to live like the old man lived anymore. That means I'm not bound up in the bondage of the things that held the old man down. I'm not caught up in the things that the flesh was obligated to, but rather I have a new life to live. A new life to live. Thank God. The old man is dead and buried. I put off the old man with his need, with his deeds, his affections, and his lust, and put on a new man created in the image of Christ Jesus, renewed in my friend in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. I'm thankful for this new life, and this new life was raised in glory, created in glory, and should be filled with glory and lived in the glory of God. You can have glory in your life, and I'm not talking about self-glory. I'm not talking about glorifying yourself. I'm not talking about everybody paying attention to you all the time. I'm talking about you can live in victory. You can live in the light of God's glory. You can bask in His presence. You can experience worship. You can experience the moving of the Holy Spirit in your heart. You can know what it's like to be at peace. You can know what it's like to live, my friend, without worries, without fret, without depression, and without fear and all these other things. My friend, to have a great a boss grip on the throats of men in this life and choke the life out of them and cause them to lose their joy and cause them to live in misery. You can live in victory over that because we have a new life to lead. And it's a life of glory. It's a life given us by the glory of God. And we can live it and walk in the glory of Christ Jesus. A new life to live. Amen. I mean, quit hanging your head low. Quit kowtowing to everything the devil says. Quit giving him a piggyback ride all the time. Quit running around whipped like a little old puppy that the devil's got a newspaper after. And live your life in the glory of God, walking in victory, friend. Walking in victory. Walking in victory. Amen. That's right. So many Christians needlessly live in fear. Needlessly live in regret. Matter of fact, I won't say if you'll live today in fear, you'll live the rest of your life in regret. Because if you live today in fear, tomorrow you'll regret that you feared what never did come to pass. Spend your life worrying about things that never happened. Spend your life worrying about things that you can't even control. Spend your life worrying about everything that's coming to pass instead of giving it to God. Do you think if God can't fix it that you're worrying about it's going to do any good? I mean, learn to trust in God. Trust in the Lord and lean into Him. My friend, lean not to thine own understanding, but when in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. The Lord hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. You have a new life to live. Quit living it in fear. fear, in fret, in distress, all worried and torn up. Live in glory. Live in victory. Walk in the Spirit of God. You don't have to live like that. Walk in the Spirit of God. Walk in power. Walk in... Somebody said, I'm not doing that. I'm struggling with everything I've got. And my friend, the answer to you is, claim your position in Christ. I mean, claim your position. Quit sitting around letting the devil and the world and the flesh beat you up, and you claim your position. Tell the devil to get behind you. I mean, tell him to go back to hell where he belongs. And you walk with God. Amen. And you can walk in glory. You can walk in victory. You can walk in power because He is the God of glory and He has raised us by His glory. We were baptized in His death, but we were raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. We were raised by glory. We have been saved by glory, and we can live in the glory of God. Does that mean, Brother Patrick, that you're never going to be stressful? That you're never going to have problems? That you're never going to face difficulties? No. It means when you do face them, you know you're not walking alone, because around you is a glow of the glory of God that you know is taking care of you, and you can learn to lean on Jesus. Amen. And the troubles of life may be bigger than you are, but you understand that there's not a mountain too high or a valley too low, or a river too wide or a giant too tough or a battle too hot that God cannot conquer. My friend, and you're walking with Him, and if God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, my friend, we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Walk in glory. So you can have a new life to live. If you've been saved, you've got a new life to live. I'm talking about being made new in Christ now. A new life to live. I could say this morning, what's new about you? Amen. I preached about that from this passage of Scripture. We could talk about a new heart, a new home, a new hangout, a new hope. Amen. I'm glad I've got a hope. Amen. A new life to live. A new life to live. Hey! Till you get saved, you don't even know what living is. But if you know God, you've got a new life to live. You can live in the glory of God. It should be a new life filled with God's glory. In verses 7 through 13, we find a new liberty to learn. A new liberty to learn. Amen. So many of us that's been saved by the grace of God seem to behave as though we were still bound to sin, but we're free. And my friend, you'll have to learn your liberties. Now let me give you a real crude illustration this morning. And I know this is not real polished and professional, and the big super boys probably wouldn't use this, but it's pretty simple and plain talk's easily understood. And so I'll use this illustration. Have you ever, any of y'all ever seen them invisible fences that they put them dogs on? You ever seen them invisible fences? You can get an, and those you happen, they are absolutely neat. I mean, they really are. You walk up to a fellow's house and you look around that house, and all of a sudden his dog comes running at you, and it's a Doberman, and his mouth's big enough to eat the neighborhood, and he's foaming at the mouth like a sick lather machine coming to eat you alive, ready to swallow you whole. He's going to kill you just sure as the world's your figure. And just about the, there's no fence between you and him, but just about the time he gets to you, he puts on the brakes and stops, and skids to a stop, and turns around, all the way back, running away from him. And you're standing there wondering what in the world went on. You know what happens? He put a collar on this dog. And this collar's got shock sensors in it. Electrodes in it. Hey man, ain't that a good Jetsons word? Electrodes in it. We're living in a space age, friend. And to them electrodes, as soon as what that dog gets so far, they've got a monitor inside the house. In the middle of that house, there's a monitor, and it shoots off rays and so forth. And there's a radio, what do they call that? Anyway, there's an area that he can go so far. And as soon as what he reaches his limit, the dog collar goes off. Now, there's not a fence there. The dog don't even know where it is the first time or two he tries it. But when he reaches his limit, that dog collar goes off. And it pops him. On all sides, all the way around his neck where that collar is. And electrocutes him with a mild voltage, just enough to scare him to death and not enough to kill him. About like shooting him a rat shot. And I mean, it pops him right around the neck every time he gets lit. And here he is, a wild, crazy dog will run wild in that yard and go crazy. And he'll think, man, there's not a fence there. There's no barrier there. I can do whatever I want to. I'm free. I'm free. I can do it all. Man, ain't this great? I've not got all them fences and bars and I'm not chained up and I'm free to do what I want to. But every time he starts to leave the yard where he is, the chain goes off, the collar goes off, and electrocutes him. After a while, he knows exactly where that line is around the yard. He knows exactly how far he can go. He knows that even though he can't see the bars, that he's in prison. He knows even though he cannot see the fence, that he's cooped up. He knows even though he is not in a kennel, he's still held captive. Amen. I'll tell you, that's where every lost condemned soul is today. Amen. That's right. They're living in captivity and they're living in bondage, and we don't see the chains and we can't see the bars. Oh, but my friend, they've learned and they're trying to do better and they're trying to do right and they're trying to get out of the life they're living in. The devil's collar goes off on them and it reminds them that they cannot beat the flesh and they cannot beat the devil and they cannot beat the world, that they are servants to sin. Now, I'm going to tell you what you can do with that dog. You can take the collar off of him. You can turn off the system that shocks him altogether and turn him loose in the yard. You know what he'll do, Brother Tony? After about 3 or 4 months of that thing shocking him, he will not pass where that invisible line used to be. He's scared too. He thinks he still can't go past. Everybody listen to what I'm telling you. This is profound if it is simple. He still thinks he cannot go past where that line of that invisible fence used to be. Now, it's not there anymore. The system's been turned off. The dog collar has been removed. And yet he still thinks he cannot go past where that fence used to be. He couldn't see the fence to start with, and still he can't see the fence, Brother Patrick. But he believes he can't go past that. He does not understand that he really is free to go, and he really is at liberty to escape the position that he's in. I'll tell you, that's where a lot of saints of God are. They've had the chains removed. The system has been turned off, and they are now free, but they think that they're still in bondage to this flesh. They live their lives in defeat. They lived their lives in bondage. They lived their lives worried about everything. And they're giving in to the devil and they're giving in to the flesh. And all the while the chains have been cut away. The fences have been torn down. And God has set us free. God help us to learn about our new liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Am I preaching right this morning? Amen. And so we're made new in Christ. We have a new liberty to learn. Look what verse number 7 said. For he that is dead is free from sin. And so if our old man died in Christ Jesus, crucified to his cross, we are free from sin. We have a new liberty. You think you can't go past where the fence used to be. And all the while you're free to go. You're making yourself a slave to sin and Satan. When there's victory to be had, there's freedom to be had, would you learn your new liberty in Christ? Amen. Verse number 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Amen. So our old man's dead and our new man's free. Hey! Ain't that wonderful a day? Bless His high and holy name. Verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. We are not bound, my friend, by sin and the law of sin and death, but we have a new liberty to learn. Learn that the world and the devil is not in control of your life. If you're a servant of God, you've got a greater power and a greater liberty in the Lord. Learn to live in your liberty. Quit making yourself a slave to everything in this world and learn to live in liberty. Amen. We are free from the bondage of sin that used to hold us, and you don't have to sin, and you can live a life of victory. There's liberty from the depravity of sinful lust of the flesh. Look down at verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield yourselves, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. As a new liberty to learn. Live in freedom. Live in liberty. Live in victory. Quit toting around the weight of the world in your shoulders. Jesus has already bore that on the cross for you. Trust in God. Pick on her a little bit and she'll let me have it when I get home, but I'll do it anyway. I come home from work and Sonja's bug-eyed. Her hair's poking up every direction. And she's all upset and uptight and frustrated and her head's wrinkled up and she's carrying on. She's having a spell and all this kind of stuff. And I just don't know what I'm going to do with these kids. Oh, what you desire is that? I wish somebody take them for a little while. How bad am I? Now listen, hey, we can laugh about it. We all get that way sometime or another about something. But did you know you don't have to? Days I come home, Brother David, and I said, well, I don't know where I'm going to work, but I'm going somewhere besides that tomorrow. And we all get there someday or another about something. These days I say to myself, it'd be so easy to pastor a church if it wasn't for those people in it. You understand what I'm saying? Every one of us has some situation that hits us just like that. And we live in bondage to it most of the time. God help us. I mean, we might as well just go ahead and confess that it's true. Most of the time, live in bondage to it. I don't know how I'm going to pay Sears and Roebuck. I don't know how I'm going to pay back MasterCard and Visa. Of course, there's ways to fix that. Just quit charging stuff on MasterCard and Visa. The way to fix it is giving victory. Quit living it as a servant to all the things of this world. Quit having to have every little thing and then you won't be a servant to every little thing. Fix a lot of that problem. But we're living in so much fret, so much worry, so much fear, so much stress. Scared to death about everything. Fighting everything. And all the while, there's a new liberty for you to learn. And it's not a new liberty that you don't have, Brother Patrick. It's one you already got. You just need to learn how to live in it. The collar's done been taken off. He that's dead's free from it. I mean, we've been raised in the glory of God. We have no cause to have to live in this bondage. Ain't that right? I mean, when we get saved, now Brother Tony, you was what, 47, 48 year old, something like that when you got saved. I mean, after you spend 47, 48 years living in bondage, it's hard to learn if the collar's taken off sometimes. And the old devil comes along and he wants you to believe you're still in the leash. And all the while, there's liberty to be had. There's freedom to be had. The fences are torn down. Why do you keep hanging around the devil's house? Why do you keep letting him beat you with a stick? Why do you keep living in defeat when there's liberty to be had? Would you learn what you got? Would you learn what you have? Would you learn the position in which you reside? You're a child of God. There ain't nothing bigger than God. There ain't nothing stronger than God. Nothing more powerful than God. And if we're the children of God, then why in the world should that weak and beggarly stuff whip us? We can live in victory. We can live in power. We can live in the liberty that God has provided for us if we'll but learn it. Learn it. You know what most of us have done? We've been saved, but we hadn't learned our new limits. You see, there's not a fence built no more. But the Lord wants us to know where the line was. Everybody still with me now? You take that dog out of that fence, you know what he'll do? If you never get him to get out of there, Brother John, you know what he'll do? If he's running in that same neighborhood still, he'll run to that yard and he knows where that fence was. He's on the other side of the fence now, even though the fence ain't even there. And every time he gets to that line, he'll stop and look over in there and think to himself, I ain't never going inside that fence again. I finally got set free from that place. And the fence ain't even there no more. He could if he wanted to. He could go back in that yard. But he says to himself, I ain't never going back in that yard. You couldn't hog tie and drag a dog that's come out of one of them invisible fences back into it. You can't do it because he don't ever want to go back in that again. You hear what I'm preaching today? Here we are saved by the grace of God. The Lord has brought us out from that bondage of Satan. And now, my friend, we ought to know where the line's drawn. We've got a liberty to learn. And we ought to know to stay out of that place where we used to be before God saved us. And live in freedom, liberty, and victory. That is profound, that we must learn this new liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. You have liberty from the law of sin and death. It's liberty from the depravity of the sinful lust of the flesh. And we can live serving our God and using our lives and our hearts and our bodies as instruments of righteousness unto God in worship, in glory, in power, in victory, in testimony, if we will but learn our new liberty in Christ. Take your collar back off. Some of you is like a dog that's been let out of a pen and wants to go back and get in it again. Would you live in victory? Live in victory. Live in victory. Well, there's a new life to live. There's a new liberty to learn. And finally, there's a new law to love. There's a new law to love. Not the law of Moses, the law of nature, or the law of man, but the spiritual law. The law of God. It's a law that liberates those who keep it. Verse number 16 said that, well, now, verse number 14 said, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. It does not have dominion over us. It liberates us. Verse number 16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Yield yourself unto God. And all of a sudden you've got freedom you didn't know you even had. Liberty. And then, my friend, learn that you've got a law of God that you can love. Folks, it's been truly redeemed. Brother Patrick, don't get mad when preachers preach. They learn to love the law of God. They learn to love the good and hate the evil. They learn to love the way of God, the will of God, the work of God, the Word of God. They learn to love, to live, to please God. And there's a new law to love. We are free from sin and in a new servitude, according to verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked. Now notice he doesn't start this thing out, man, I sure do hate serving God. But he said, but God be thanked. I'm so glad, in other words, to God be the glory. And he's fixing to talk about servitude to God. Some folks say, well, I'll tell you, serving God, living for God, sure is tough. But Paul said, but God be thanked. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart, not from the hands, not from the lips, but from the heart. You've obeyed, he said. You've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered from you. I delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. In other words, you're free from the old life, free from the creature you used to be, and you're a new creature, and you're serving God, and you're serving a new life. And it's not out of constraint, it's not out of have to, and it's not because there's a collar around your neck, but it's because you love the law of God. You love the way of God. Amen. This servitude is done voluntarily, not by constraint, not reluctantly, but done with joy. Amen. Verse number 19 says, I like this. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Now what he says here is I'm fixing to give you a real simple piece of instruction, and I would speak real spiritually, but I don't think you can handle it. That's what that means. All right? For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even, by the way, there's two iniquities there. Have you noticed that? To iniquity and unto iniquity. So he says not only have you done sin, but you've lived in sin. All right? And so just as sure as you've yielded your service, ye members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. In other words, he's saying to them, just as sure as you live for the devil, when you get right with God, live for God. I mean, as sure as what you wallowed in sin when you was lost, now that you're saved, sell out to God. It's as sure as you're as good a sinner as you could have been, try to be as good a Christian as what you can be. As sure as you sold out to the devil in lust and sin, sell out to God in holiness and in righteousness. Give it your best, in other words. Give it your best. Give it your best. Give it your best. There is a new law to love. One man said it best this way: I'm not what I want to be, and I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm not what I was. Not what I used to be. And I praise His name for that. But as I am His, as I am Christ, as I am following in the footsteps of Christ, I'm learning what it means to be His. How does that second verse of that song go? It says, play on the potter's wheel each day, being molded by the Master His way. I am trying to be still while conforming to His will, and I'm learning what it means to be His. No longer a slave, I've been loosed from my chains, and now I can sing, I'm free, I'm free. He's my Father, I'm His Son. Praise the Lord, the work is done, and I'm His for eternity. Isn't that what we're preaching about this morning? Made new in Christ. But just as sure, my friend, as what your baby was born fully human, it was not born full grown. And them girls and boys have to learn how to eat, how to walk, how to talk, how to act. They're born knowing nothing. They're fully human, but all they know is when they're hungry. I mean, they don't know how to go to the bathroom. At least not to the bathroom. I mean, they don't know how to do anything. But they are fully human, aren't they, Brother David? I mean, they're not aliens or Martians or something, even though they do have pointed heads usually. Right? And when a child is born in the family of God, he's fully Christian, but he's ignorant of all the things of God. And he has to learn how to be a Christian, just as our children have to learn how to be civilized human beings. And some of us still need to learn some of those lessons. Our children have to learn how to be civilized. We have to learn how to live like Christians. Now, here's the thing about it. If your child is born into this world with all the faculties that belong to a human being, they have the ability to learn how to be one. Ability to learn how to be a civilized human being. It does not take them long till they figure out how to talk, how to walk, how to eat, feed themselves, how to go to the bathroom, in the bathroom. I mean, they have the capability, the capacity to do these things. They're born with it. I mean, little Miss Brian, ain't nobody having to show her how to get the candy out of that bag that Miss Angel's holding. I mean, she knows how to get the cookies and the candies out. She knows how to cry when I mention her name. I mean, ain't nobody having to show her how to do that. She's learned it all by herself. I mean, she figured that out. You don't have to even tell your kid how to get the food and put it in their mouth. They'll start figuring that out all by themselves. You know why? Because they have the capacity to learn how to be the person that they will be as an adult. Will it take some training? Sure. Will it take some instruction? Absolutely. But they have the capacity to do it. So as a child of God, did you think that the Lord made you second rate? Do you think that He made you insufficient? Do you think that He made you incapable of being a Christian? You're born in the child of God, in the family of God, fully Christian. And you have the full capacity to learn how to live in the liberty and the victory of God. And you can be everything the Holy Spirit wants you to be if you'll but yield yourself to His instruction. You see, He's not a try. Listen, sometimes you've got to whoop your young'uns to instruct them. But you're not whooping them for the sake of whooping them. If you are, you're doing wrong. But you're whipping them then to instruct them, to try to direct them, to try to direct their paths. And when the Holy Spirit directs us, sometimes He must whip us. But He's not doing it to abuse us. He's doing it to instruct us, to help us to learn to be His. I wonder today, do we have some learning still to do? I mean, I sure would like to think that I'm a full stature and muscle bound spiritually, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger spiritually, you know what I'm talking about. I'd like to think that sometimes, but the devil reminds me from time to time that I'm still a 90-pound weakling in the Lord a lot of times. And I've got a lot of spiritual bodybuilding left to do. I've got a lot of instructions that I still need. I've got a lot of liberty to learn, a lot of the new law to love. I've got a new life that I'm trying to live, and I'm made new in Christ, and I'm trying to live my life after the image of Him that created me in Him. New life to learn. God, help us to learn to live that life for His honor, for His glory. I want you to come on with a song. I'm done preaching. You can stand. If you need to come do business with the Lord this morning, you come. New man in Christ, made new in Christ Jesus. Have you ever changed? Listen, if you've never been changed at all, you've never been saved. Has there ever been a place in your life where Christ absolutely set you on an about face? If not, you're not saved. But you who have been redeemed, stand fast in your liberty. Reckon your old man dead. You can live in victory and in glory from God. You can live for God and you can be in the center of His will if you'll yield yourself to Him and learn what it means to be His. I'm finished preaching. Amen. You need to come to business with the Lord. You come and say this.
I'm learning to live.
Learning to trust in Him. To lean on Him. To live for Him.
I'm learning.
Count on
to
Him.
Lean
depend
on
Him.
Jesus.
Walk with Him.
Finding
oh, God, help
more
us
power than I'd ever
dreamed. If you take home your burdens that you brought today,
I'm learning.
You've been defeated. Listen to this. And all the while, there's liberty for
Jesus.
All the while, there's a new law to love. All the while is freedom.
Broken hearted,
joy and peace.
At an altar I knelt.
Learn to live for Him. Learn to live this new
God's
life in Christ.
So
we're made new in Him. Quit going back in the chains
His
of the world.
Blessed Holy Spirit is leading the way.
God has not given us a spirit
He's
of fear.
Teaching
the
and
love,
I'm
the power,
and
the sound mind. May we learn to access the gifts of God.
I'm learning to lean. Learning
all the peace we often forfeit. All because we do not carry
to
everything that God has blessed.
On Jesus. Finding more power than I'd ever dreamed.
I'm learning to lean.
I'm learning. Joy I can explain fills my soul since the day I made Jesus my King. His blessed Holy Spirit is leading the way.
That's right.
He is teaching and I'm
learning
to lead.
Learning to lean.
Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to
Moses said at the time of his death in Deuteronomy 33 and 26, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency in the sky. Thy eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Notice what he said. He said, it thrust out the enemy from before you, and then say, destroy them. He'd cast the enemy out and put them in a place of a position where they were vulnerable. A place of vulnerability, and then say to us to destroy them. Give the victory, and the Lord could just destroy our enemies for us. But He cast them out and make them vulnerable, and then lets us fight the battle and get the victory. Well, I mean, you know what He's doing to us, don't you? He's letting us take care of the light work, and in the meantime, we're sweating our chests out and a sweat living in victory and living in the glory of God, and all the while we think we're doing pretty good. Kind of like what you do with your kids when you set things up for them and make them real easy. Toss them the softball when they hit a home run. It ain't even really hit that hard. You let them outrun you all the way to home plate. They score a home run. Here it was. They didn't really even do that good, but you made sure to it that they felt like they did. The Lord's doing that away a lot of times. He's helping build us. He's helping us to learn to lean on Him, to count on Him, and to learn what it means to be His. Underneath us are His everlasting arms. I'm glad if I fall, I can always fall in the arms of the Lord. And the Lord knows I've failed a lot of times, but I've never had to fall that He wasn't there to pick me up. I praise His name. Well, I could talk about this from now on. Sure could. I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate God's goodness. I'm glad I'm a new man living in a new world.